Okay, well, we're starting to run through the division here. Miami, and now the Jets. It seems like quite a while since we played the Jets, but Jets are playing well. They're a very competitive football team. They're in every game. They've been in a lot of tight games. Seems like every game comes down to the last possession, kind of like it did with us, like a lot of our games with them have in the last four of the last five times we played them. So, real good running game. The backs and the quarterback. Of course, these are receivers quite a bit too in the running game, the reverses and those kind of plays, option plays. Defensively, strong front, good at stopping the run. Physical pass rush team. Really, those front seven guys are all. They don't come off the field too much. They're using a lot less nickel and dime than we've ever seen. They try to keep those guys on the field as much as possible, and so they're a pretty disruptive group. And obviously, it'll be a big challenge for us in the kicking game with Harvin and Curley, two of the top returners in football, and strong coverage units too. They're gunners and linebackers, blowers, always a problem for us. So we'll have to do a good job there and play well on special teams. So. It's been a big week for us, and we need to, I think we need to play better than we did the last time we played them. I just don't think that'll be good enough. Barely was good enough last time. I don't think it'll be good enough this time.
What do you think's been the biggest difference in your run defense since the last time you played the Jets?
Well, we'll see how it goes against the Jets. I don't know. We played other teams and different matchups and all that. The Jets are pretty healthy. They had one change on their offensive line, but the rest of those guys have all started 14 games. They've had pretty good consistency at tight end. The running backs are very good. The quarterback's a good runner, so we'll see whether we can improve against the Jets in a running game. That's what we need to do.
We saw Chandler Jones drop into coverage a few times this past week, and I know he's done that in the past for you guys, but I'm wondering how his three seasons with you here, that part of the game has progressed. I don't know if he did any of it in college.
Well, yeah, not much at Syracuse. But he's done that since he's been here. He said that. I mean, that's 10% of his job or whatever, but maybe less. But he has a decent knack for it, has a little bit of natural awareness, instinctiveness on what to do and where to go, and trying to sometimes draw the block of the lineman before he goes, and disguising whether he's dropping or not dropping. So he's again, it's a percentage of his game. It's part of a changeup. Obviously, it's not his main thing, but he's done a good job on that, and I think it allows us to do some other things. If the protection goes to him, then that creates hopefully some opportunity somewhere else. So he's done a pretty good job of that for a guy that really hasn't had much experience.
You mentioned the disguising part of it for an offense. They need to figure out if he's coming or not. It seems like you guys have a handful of players who can do both of those things, rush the passer and drop into coverage. So how helpful is that to your defense in terms of forcing the offense to think about something extra, I guess?
Yeah, no, I think it's helped us a lot. I think it's been a good I think Matt and the defensive staff done a good job of utilizing those guys so that there are potentially seven rushers, really, six, depending on what front we're in, what personnel we're in. Six or seven rushers, and not being sure exactly which three, four are coming, which two, three are dropping, create some protection issues, and puts a little bit of the, puts the defense a little bit on the attack in that standpoint, as opposed to the offense sort of, knowing we got to block these four guys, and if these guys come, it's a blitz. I mean, that's not always the case with us. But I'd say the Jets are kind of in a, they have a similar setup with Pace, who's really a defensive end, but he plays linebacker, and he's in coverage a lot. But when he comes, he's he's not really a linebacker. He's a defensive end. He's a hard matchup. He's a tough guy to block. And then they use Harris and Davis, who are good, you know, big guys and explosive kind of blitzers. So it's, you know, having a guy to block them is one thing. Getting them blocked, you know, is another thing. So, yeah, I think that it definitely creates, puts some pressure on the offense and they're not just the assignments, but then, like I said, actually getting them blocked.
I saw some situations on Sunday where he was lined up next to Akeem.
Who's that?
Chandler. Mm-hmm. What went into that thought process, and is it tough to have two guys who are relatively new playing alongside each other to kind of learn how to play alongside each other, become complementary players?
Well, I mean, I don't say Chandler's new. I mean, he's been here for 3 years.
In terms of the relationship with, I mean, just having Akeem out there and learning how to play next to him.
Yeah, well, I mean, Akeem's been here for a couple months, too, so not as long. But Akeem's a pretty smart guy. He's picked up things very well. So I'd say at this point, I don't think that's really a big factor. Branch, Akeem, Jonathan. I mean, they don't have as much experience as some of the other players we could mention, but I think whatever we need them to do, whatever their assignments are, I don't think there's a thought of, oh, we're not sure if he has it, if he's been here long enough, if he's repped it enough. I think we're pretty, I mean, anybody can make a mistake out there, but I think we're past all that. So whoever's in there is in there. And then, you know, we expect them to do it, and they've had enough reps to do it, and I think they're all confident in doing it, so. Saw that last week with Jonathan in the San Diego game. I think that was a big, you know, big step in there as well. So whoever it is, you know, we feel confident that they'll be able to do it.
Sorry about that. With Jonathan and Akeem in particular, when you acquired them, did you have an idea of the full breadth of abilities and flexibility each would have, or have you kind of learned that and evolved their roles as you've worked with them over the course of time, been able to do different things with them based on what they've shown you since arriving here?
I would say it's about what we expected. You know, that was what Akeem did at Tennessee. He played linebacker and he played defensive end. I think you can see him doing pretty much what he's done for us in the previous 3 years and going back to UCLA for that matter. So I think that's, you know, he's a player with, he's got versatility. He's got the skills to play linebacker and he can rush. So, and he's smart. So it's not, you know, where the defenses run together or the roles run together. He's, you know, he can do that. And I'd say the same thing about Jonathan. You know, we've, you know, had an interest in Jonathan since he was, you know, UFA at New Orleans. So I've been, 3 years ago, whenever it was. And you know, we felt like he was a player with value on defense and in the kicking game and in multiple roles on defense. So that'd be regular defense, sub defense, you know, in the running game and, you know, as a coverage linebacker. So his opportunities have been limited. You certainly didn't see as much of him on defense as what you saw of Akeem. But you saw a lot of Jonathan in the kicking game, and he was an impact player in the kicking game for New Orleans and Tampa, you know, and we practiced against him, and we, you know, saw him firsthand and all that. So I'd say he's done all those things for us, and that's kind of what he did what he did for those two organizations. Different, but similar.
Curious on all those guys you mentioned, Jonathan, Keen, Ellen Branch, as the season goes along and you have to monitor other rosters and look at your roster and see fits, who is mainly in charge of keeping track of that? Your whole pro personnel department and then kick it up to Nick and then you, how does it work?
It's a combination of a lot of different things.
Is that initial appraisal of Jonathan, as you mentioned, is he's UFA or the key management is at UCLA? Is that something you say, okay, this is a starred player. If we have an opportunity to add that player, that's one we would always look at.
I mean, each situation is different. I don't know. We, you know, you spend a lot of time on players in the offseason, pro players, college players. Some of them you get, some of them you don't, some of them you play against, and some of them become available at some later point in time. And how they become available or what are the specific circumstances or dynamics of that individual in his particular situation, it's, you know, probably each one is a little bit different. So,
do you have certain guys like in college that you follow as they progress in their pro career and say, if I get a chance to get him, I think he'd fit well with a, with my philosophy and what I'm trying to do, even though he may not look like he fits in the NFL with another team? Do you constantly update yourself on that? Or,
well, I think when we put our final grade on a college player, you know, they fall into a couple different categories. Certainly there's the, he's a good player, but just doesn't fit for us for whatever reason. He's a good player and he would fit for us, or he's a good player, he would fit in a certain role for us, depending on what he brings and what role we need on that, in that, you know, he has a role. Do we need that role, or do we need it at that particular time? So one of those three categories. So obviously if a guy fits for us and we feel like, you know, he is a guy that we would like to have on our roster, and then of course we monitor that as he goes through his pro career. We update that, and sometimes we change our mind, sometimes we don't. And then when those players become available, again, based on the circumstances, where we are, what the player's situation is, contracts, so forth and so on, then you either act on it or try to act on it. Sometimes you can't. But I'd say the players that we say, you know, this guy probably isn't really a fit here. I'm not saying he's not a good player. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it doesn't really fit his skills, what we're looking for, or whatever. But then there's players that we swing on that too. Like, well, maybe we're wrong on this guy. We didn't think he fit, but look at what he's doing for some other team. We would like for him to do that for us. So, you know, I think as you go through a player's pro career, sometimes that gets, you know, you're wrong on guys. You see them play in this league and you see what they can do, and you change, you modify your evaluation based on more information.
Just, who are the key point guys just on those evaluations as you update? Pro personnel guys, and who are they for you?
The pro scouts evaluate pro players in the league. The college scouts evaluate colleges and potential draft choices. And then there are certain, again, depending on the situation, you know, sometimes coaches have seen certain players or possibly coached them, depending on, you know, who it was and where they were. So, again, it could be a combination of any of those. I mean, Nick obviously is the key guy in all this, but on any individual one, there could be other people that are involved. I mean, there wouldn't be any that wouldn't include Nick, I'll put it that way. But there are some where I'd say, you know, Nick's maybe the guy who has the most information. Sometimes it might be somebody else who, you know, it gets processed through Nick or myself, or, you know, there's no set formula.
Bill, I wonder if you can reflect back a little bit on your decision to draft Rob Gronkowski. It was sort of an unusual college career for him, only playing two seasons, being injured in the third. I'm just kind of wondering if, what you remember about that evaluation and weighing the risk reward.
So that's pretty much, you pretty much nailed it. That's what it is. There wasn't a ton to go on. It was limited. Certainly his college production in the passing game was limited. But, you know, we brought Rob up here. We spent some time with him. Talked to some people at Arizona that I think gave us good information about Rob in terms of what it was like to be with him on a day-to-day basis. So, I mean, if you meet Rob for 10 or 15 minutes, you might get an impression that may or may not be what it's like to have him in your office, in a classroom, and on the field, you know, for 6-7 hours a day. Like, it might be a little bit different, potentially. So, and obviously there was a medical concern that we, you know, had to clear that hurdle, but our medical people did that, and so that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thanks.